に上がりゃ関係ねえ。
Shall we begin?
Winter is coming.
I can do this all day.
Tear down this wall.
行くぞ。
Welcome to Unscriptified podcast powered by Jägermeister. Dale Carnegie said, "When dealing with people, let us remember we are not dealing with creatures of logic. We are dealing with creatures of emotion, creatures who are bristling with prejudices and motivated by pride and vanity." Today, we examine the scale of emotion and rationality, everyday life and decision making, from simple daily tasks to the offices of the White House. Peter, how are you doing, and how was my?
It's all right, I guess.
My boy grow up. But yeah, it's solid. I mean, I had worse.
It's enough.
Yeah.
It's enough.
But I had better.
It's yeah. Enough.
Yeah, enough. And it's tough, right?
Yes.
It's not.
People think it's easy.
Good morning, Vietnam.
Oh, that was from the first episode.
The first step?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, in the pilot. That was one crazy intro. I'm really proud of it.
Yeah, I had to re-listen to that.
Yeah, it was full of references and everything. But yeah.
But I'm scared of this.
Intro would be enough.
Yes, because...
With enhanced audio now available on all podcasting platforms.
Yes, but that first episode... It probably wouldn't be a good listen now, but yeah, you better start somewhere, just like with this scene.
Let me know. It's lovely. It's refreshing the time on this side of the table, in some sense, or on this side of the ironing pan, in this case. But it's like I go into this episode with a totally different mindset, with different posture, with different everything.
Yes, so now I'm Letterman.
You're the guest.
So, emotion and rationale. Are you a rational person?
Yeah, I believe I am.
Well,
without jokes, I believe.
I mean, obviously, like we are both creatures of emotion and rationale, but when we say, are you a rational person, we usually think, are you normal?
Yeah. Well, I'm probably not normal, but I'm rational in complicated situations.
Yeah. I mean, fear and panic are dead to rationale.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see that in COVID, because it was when the COVID hit, it was a complete suspension of rationality. Mm-hmm. By everybody.
Not just COVID, you can see it in every emergency. You can see in every catastrophe, in every a little bigger trouble, you may.
Yes, yeah. Because any time we sense that we are, and that's obviously something primal with humans, we are ready to sacrifice everything for security.
Mm-hmm.
That is only... It's kind of, you know, primal. That's instinct, and in a heat of those moments, we do not think straight. We just think, let's protect ourselves. Even though sometimes what we end up doing doesn't benefit protecting ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird.
It's weird, and because emotions. You know, when you're handling stuff with your emotions, it's the maze, it's the labyrinth of feelings or opinions and everything. And it feels like a labyrinth subconsciously. But when you are rational, it's like a hole where you pick where you want to go, where you are in total control. And that's where... Additional paradox to what are you saying occurs, right?
Yes. And it's also, I mean, you can see that I think sometimes we tend to think of ourselves almost like rational beings as a whole and put that in equation.
Yeah.
But it turns out to be a wrong equation. For example, like in economics, stuff like pricing, almost... like always think of people as you know, restaurant beans, this is cheaper,
mm-hmm.
this person will buy it.
Mm.
But it doesn't mean, you know, outside marketing wouldn't exist as a profession. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, you must watch the buyer as the irrational being. It was always the only logical thing,
yeah.
which is absurd. But I mean, even if you watch when you watch movies, when you hear speeches and everything, when you react with emotions, it's simpler and it's instant. Sometimes situations demand from you to react in an instant, and you react with emotions almost always instead of being rational, because rational takes time. It doesn't give you time to make an answer, to make an action. It takes you time to do so, and sometimes you do not have a luxury to do so.
And yep. it's irony, because sometimes that answer is before you, but you
mm-hmm.
still have to process.
Yeah. And think about this: when juggling between rational, and I'm here like Jimmy Carragher for International Milan. Yeah, but think about this too. When you are maybe watching a movie, for example, you all movie with lunatic scientists who is speaking with facts, with proven facts, with it's not just random nonsense, and nobody listens to him, but he is acting rational in that moment when everybody else thinks he is irrational and they are rational. But when situation occurs, they act on emotions and not on rational, right?
Yes. And that is the thing about, for example, selling something to someone. You always want to appeal to his emotion.
Yeah.
To his emotional side.
Yeah.
I want to appeal to his rationality. Because
the emotional reaction is stronger than rational reaction.
Much stronger. And if you can hit that center of someone's brain,
mm-hmm.
that emotional part, you got him. I mean, you can do whatever you want with him.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, obviously, there's a whole social science about that. But it's also like, we are not robots, obviously. And it's sometimes good to be with your emotions, obviously.
It's necessary.
Yes, because that makes you human.
But it's important that you know what feelings occur and which emotions are on place.
But it's truly, it is hard kind of to develop that instinct of you are put in front of the situation.
Put in what?
Put in front of some situation and really think about it and see that answer and still act upon it, because you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that right course of action.
But mm-hmm.
It's very hard for you to act on it. And sometimes even when you're doing, you sometimes do a stupid thing. Did I do this?
Mm-hmm.
And that happens often to a lot of people. I know it happens to me.
Yeah.
You go back and say, why did I do this? And it's because of that emotional part got the better of you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can think, and you can, it may be some stupid stuff that you don't regret, but you always come back and you're like, why did I even, what was the purpose of it? Why did I do it? You know, there was sometimes nothing to gain from it.
Mm-hmm.
I still did it.
Mm-hmm.
That's maybe the mindset of people addicted to things.
Yeah.
Like, for example, somebody who is, I don't know, addicted to alcohol,
mm-hmm.
there's the bottle, looks at the bottle, and she's like, it doesn't do me good. It's, you know, only brings bad to me. And it mm-hmm. doesn't bring me enjoyment at the end of the day.
This episode really lacks Huberman on the other side to give us some scientific insight into the stuff we are talking about. But
these podcasts are 4 hours.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah, I never watched the full one.
Yeah, I never watched the full one.
And they are hard to watch. They are like Academy trying to be nominated movies.
Yeah, I mean, it's not Dokken Huberman. He's a very interesting guy.
Yeah, definitely.
Very interesting to listen to. Mm-hmm. 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Other fuckers.
let's take maybe example from life, from daily routine. We can take it from maybe relationship or job. For example, you will have the opportunity for a new job, but it's in a different city. So it would demand from you to travel. It would demand for you some extra time. Also, you have family, friends in your hometown. You have a routine that you are not willing to let off, you know. But on the other side, this opportunity might give you a chance for growth, for promotion, for bigger salary and everything. But again, you will most probably choose the first option because of the emotion.
Yeah. And you're not willing to sacrifice the second.
Yeah. Some people are.
Some people are. Yeah. Usually they bank on it.
Yeah.
Usually they bank big on it. Sometimes they don't. That is circumstances.
Yeah.
You know, it's also like when it comes to decision making, especially mm-hmm. like this may be a weird example, but take pro wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Vince McMahon.
Always rational.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, obviously, a man is hugely successful.
Mm-hmm.
If you can look at the WWE, mm-hmm. not many times.
A little bit like
15. How could you not see it? I mean, he definitely saw it.
Yeah.
But he was like, fuck mm-hmm. you.
Yeah.
I'm willing to expend. I'm willing to lose on this because.
To see it happen, yeah?
Yeah, because fuck you. You know, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's like, and I actually think there's some. Well, we'll see what happens in the near future. But like with Cody Rhodes, comes back to WrestleMania, obviously, whole story thing, you know. I think there's a part of him that says, fuck you, you made AEW, even though this is a perfect decision, you created this rival company, even this is a perfect give you title, here on WrestleMania, cannot do it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There is that, like, part of, you know, seeing what's right and seeing what's, and in this case, maybe profitable for you,
mm-hmm.
fuck you.
Yeah.
And that sometimes even that goes for someone who makes $1 billion worth of decisions every day and daily tasks, right?
Those are the people who react to emotions the most, because they, in my opinion, I think, and with people like Vince and all those colossals of our world, basically.
And Vince is a colossal.
I think that instead of the dilemma between emotions and rational, it's that the biggest part of that is to ego, because those people, they have gigantic ego. Every single one of them, especially in pro wrestling, everybody has ego. But all those great men, they have enormous freaking ego. And yes. I think that that's a bigger problem than everything else.
But it's also like Vince is a weird mix also of being somebody like that and being a pragmatist in many cases,
mm-hmm.
because Vince is very willing. Like Vince could be to Bret Hart, to CM Punk, to all this, be like, fuck you, you know, you said awful stuff about me. I did also awful stuff, but Vince is like, yeah, we're going to make money.
Yeah,
we're
but
gonna make money by making peace with you.
Mm-hmm.
I am good as long as
it's always making peace on his own terms, and it's always maybe the mindset. Yeah, I won. you came back to me. I didn't call you. Even CM Punk, which you mentioned, Vince Triple H didn't call him. He called WWE allegedly.
Yes,
you know.
Yes, and
Bret Hart, after all stuff that happened with Owen, with Screwjob, with everything, he came back. Goldberg came back. Everybody comes back.
You know, exactly. But
it's John Moxley will come back.
Oh, 100%. I think 2-3 years. It's also that part of him being a pragmatist.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yes, there's that part of, obviously, you're going to come back to me and not me to you. That part of being pragmatist. And it's also part of being a rational person, is being a pragmatist in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing things not in sort of romanticized, theatrical way. Seeing them as they are in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, do this. This benefits me. Why wouldn't I do this? You know what I mean? That's like Vincent, he's that part of his decision.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, why not? And or Triple H as well now. Why not bring CM Punk? He said awful stuff about us. Mm-hmm. It's all good. We're going to make a ton of money. We're going to make a super product with him.
And we
don't care. That is part of being you, pragmatist, and I think a rational person as well, because you know, that's business.
But the part of this and professional wrestling relationships, what do you think about striking this balance in decision making between rational and emotional? Is that process that we control? Is that process that just occurs based on our maybe experience or even instinct in some sense?
I think you can train it also. I think you basically train it, yeah. I think, to make yourself be more analytical and therefore be more better in your decision making. Now, a rational decision isn't always a better decision. That needs to be said as well, in some sense. But I think you can truly train yourself to be analytical and... Because you know the quote, right? Life isn't about what... life is half what happens to you and how you react to it.
Yeah.
Is the other half. So be much better. We react, you know, life gave me lemonades. Lemons and you make lemonade.
Watch Fall of the House of Usher. It's a completely different story about when the life gives you a lemon.
I'm not a fan of horrors, though.
Trust me, it's not horror. It has blood, and that's it.
I'm currently reading It by Stephen King.
He said he's not a fan of horror.
Yeah, but that's me entering out of my comfort zone. and that is irrational as well. Why would you? I never understood horror, actually. I understood horror fans in the sense that somebody wants that excitement out of his entertainment. I know people who are obsessed. I literally know people who are ultra horror fans. They kind of developed almost like a tolerance to it.
Yeah, tolerance or maybe addiction. I will again repeat. I miss Huberman on the other side because he would explain this need of their, maybe even their organism, the need for, I don't know what, adrenaline or dopamine and all those chemicals in our body.
Horror fans, and I can't.
Yeah, I know.
Not be a horror fan, you know. I can.
I was stressed out by SpongeBob episodes in this city, you know.
Yeah, when they go to the underground city.
Yeah, and I was stressed out by scary episodes of cartoons when I was a kid, and I do not like, love, or even tolerate horrors in that sense.
Yeah, and I am not, this is kind of me getting out of my comfort zone to read it. It's just a little bit of tryout.
I
will become a horror fan after this.
I can watch it, but I will not enjoy it for obvious reasons to me. But
especially, gory ones, disturbing, like, you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I never understood how can you watch that and enjoy, like, say, oh, what an awesome movie. I don't get it. That's a part of somebody. Some people enjoy music. I don't get that as well. But it's like, back to rationality also, what needs to be mentioned is some people, micro decision, everyday doing, you know, what you do with your time, what you do with your spare time on the job, blah, blah, blah. You know, that micromanagement is actually, I think, very possible and very efficient when you know what can you do with your time and especially what not to do
mm-hmm.
with your time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a part of you sitting and being analytical and seeing things analytically and say, this harms me. This doesn't bring anything to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, making a decision to quit it. And I think actually in your life, a lot of improvement is about letting shitty things go, mm-hmm. then in adding some new better things
mm-hmm.
in some sense. And I think that's also part of rational decision making, in my opinion.
Yeah. For the end, I will just give the message, the thing I would recommend to others for all those who maybe think they are irrational in decision making, they cling to emotions, they are quick to piss off, and maybe the best solution would be not to listen to us. But it's highly recommended as well. But Huberman. And also the Stoic principles, but not just Stoic principles in this sense, like Marcus Aurelius, Cicerone, and similar guys.
Ryan Holiday.
Ryan Holiday, exactly. Ryan Holiday, maybe James Clear, because the thing that you were describing earlier, that you can teach it, and your last few sentences that actually it's in some sense a matter of habits as well. James Clear, great guy, great book. Read that. That's it.
He's Atomic Habits.
Yeah, Atomic Habits, right.
And Ryan Holiday is Daily Stoic.
Daily Stoic.
Yes. He was a Joe Rogan. That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Recommend that one.
yeah. I call him into this podcast. Never answered.
well, we
can listen to his podcast.
Yes, yes. But he will land one day.
or else.
let's not think
about it. Yeah.
Let's be pragmatic about people who turned us down. We can do business. We can still do business.
When you made that intro, were you writing it to be emotional or to be rational?
No, but yeah. I mean, we can still do business with these people.
Yeah.
Except without snow. Fuck that. You know what I mean? We can do business without snow. That's fine.
Just 10 minutes ago, you spoke about being pragmatic and how everybody comes back no matter what he said, what he did.
I should think of Vince's principle regarding these guests.
Yeah.
Turned us down.
Yeah.
But he didn't turn us down.
Yeah.
This is what he went along with.
No,
this is a personal matter. This is personal shit. But okay.
You know when Roman Reigns said that, it's personal to me.
No, it will be personal, and some things just can't be looked at rationally.
Yeah, I mean, it's a kid's level prank when they make a fake profile and call you on a date.
Yeah,
and looks
and they tell you you're good looking. Okay.
I mean, that's truthful.
Before I burn any more bridges, due to this podcast, now we go in the car.
I can host him on overtime solo.
Yes. Yeah, he doesn't have to be with you now.
Yeah.
No. We'll see.
Or does he? Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Let's not burn more bridges. as far as the quote goes, I picked a short but sweet one from Montenegrin's greatest Jew, Daniel Kish. And he said...
Did he dig tunnels? Dig tunnels?
No.
No. Under Belgrade, no?
No.
Cool.
No.
I respect that.
Yeah, I that as well. He was a great writer, great man.
Yeah,
On our language, it was silly.
Another bridge burned down.
With Ferrari. But we'll see.
Yeah.
Postoje opšte vrijednosti. Estetičke, etičke, kod dalje. Postoje samo relativne. And on English, it would say, there are no general values, aesthetic, ethical, etc. they're only relative ones.
Yeah, they are. Stay tuned for the next week.
We stay genuine, uncensored and unscripted, and we always will, as we have to order our usual. Share us, subscribe us, and stay tuned until the next Wednesday.
Iguzo!